This is something that moves me from my comfort zone.
Amen.
Into my uncomfortable zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Does everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand that. Some people just have a natural affinity to be able to get in front of people and talk. And I tell you, I am definitely, I'm envious of that. That's never been something that I really look forward to doing. I gotta get myself ready, get myself in the mode to speak in front of people. Why is that?
You're amongst friends.
What is that all about, Tom?
You're amongst friends. Yeah.
Okay. I know. I'm just like opening up myself because
most of us are friends.
Okay. And the credit goes to the Spirit, right?
Yeah, amen.
Praise God.
It's not you.
That's right. Spirit
of God. So turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and at verse 17. And we'll be going, and that's just kind of my introduction on some of this, just a message the Lord really laid on me, and it was almost a harmony of it. So insightful to me that I just have to bring it to all.
Okay? Amen.
So we'll start in about a second. Let me pray first. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd bless this message, Lord, more than anything else, Lord, that Jesus Christ be lifted up. If he's not lifted up, it isn't worth a thing.
Amen.
Christ must be glorified. He must be lifted up. All men must be drawn unto him. We must be drawn closer to him. We must know him ever greater, continually, every single day. May we press forward. And Lord, I pray that you would use me as your servant, Lord.
Amen.
May, Lord, I be moved completely out of the way. And Lord, may you bless me with the liberty and the grace to speak for you and to be your messenger this day at this pulpit at this time. Thank you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This this message is the ministry that we've been given as workers for him. Starting in verse 17, it says, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have they not all become new? Wasn't there a day in our lives when the reality as we knew it, everything changed.
Amen.
The game changed. Everything dynamically went in another direction. There truly was right and wrong. There really was a God in heaven, and there was heaven and there was hell. And all these things that fall in between, right? The mercy and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of his kindness and his love. So anyway, starting in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us
Amen.
To himself by Jesus Christ,
yes.
And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Reconciliation is a call back to union. It's a call back to friendship with the Lord. We've been conciliated again. We've been brought back together. Because before this, we were enemies. We were hostile. We were out of the will of God, totally cut off from him in darkness and, just abject darkness. In verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So now we bear this message to the world that people can be reconciled and be brought back to friendship and be brought back to union with God that were his enemies. What a responsibility. What a tremendous responsibility we have. We are ambassadors for Christ. As the verse continues on here in 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. You can also spell that E-M-B-A-S-S-A-D-O-R-S. What is an embassy? An embassy is a building, is a station that is in a foreign country. We are ambassadors. We come from an embassy, and we are the representatives of another prince.
Amen.
The representative of another state. We are not native. This reconciliation, this ministry of reconciliation, is so profound that we no longer belong in this world.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yeah.
We truly don't belong here. I mean, we are just, as the old song says, I'm just a pilgrim. I'm passing through.
Right.
I'm
Amen.
Just a passing through.
That's right.
It's not my world. I'm just a passing through. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And so God did beseech you by us. You should think about that one. Beseech. To entreat, to implore, to ask or pray with urgency. Okay? That is the Webster's 1828. God has just now lowered himself to plead with you.
Oh, come on.
This wretch, this enemy, God pleaded, God beseeched me, pleaded with me with urgency. Kevin, you are a reconciler. You are an ambassador for me. You are my representative. Where is representative? Representative. What an entrusted thing we've been given. I'm not worthy of it.
Amen.
It's hard for me to even get in front of here and speak to friends, let alone go and speak to, people. It's hard for me, but I know this. I know that the more I die to myself, the better I am.
Amen.
The better I am. And I tell you, that death to myself is also it's an emotional thing. It's a soulish thing. It's moving me out of my comfort zone and getting me into that uncomfortable zone where I have to cross that river.
Amen.
What is the name of that river? It's slipping my mind now in Israel. Crossing Jordan.
Jordan.
Crossing Jordan. Jordan is actually a picture of death.
Right.
You cross Jordan.
Right.
And that death comes in many facets. It's not just physical, right? Mm-hmm. It's soulish. It can be emotional. It can be your comfort zone. But God wants you. He's beseeching Kevin. He's beseeching all of us here. He's pleading with us. The God of creation is begging us to do this. Why would God do that for me? I mean, Jesus Christ died for me. I guess. But this God's continual love and mercy just continues on and on and on and on. Let me go back, start at verse 20 again. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So now,
Amen.
Paul is saying, instead meaning that I'm in his place. Paul is in the place of Christ, and he's in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So Paul's preaching the reconciliation of people to God, to the Lord and Creator. 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That was my introduction to chapter 6. So we've been given this ministry of reconciliation. We are workers, and the Lord has pleaded with us and begged with us. I don't know if beg is the correct word, but he has entreated and implored and asked with urgency that we would take this mantle upon us, this ministry of reconciliation. So in chapter 6 and verse 1, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you, also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain.
Mm.
So Paul is again pleading with us not to receive this grace that God has bestowed on us in vain. What does vain mean? Vain means empty, worthless, with no consequence, nothing. It means nothing at all. If I become a Christian, and this has brought many things into my life, from what I believe going back, decades ago. I made the profession, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good to go. I don't think so. If you receive, we're not to receive the grace of God in vain. We're not to receive it and just sit on our couch and eat donuts, right?
Amen.
I mean, that's not do anything for the Lord. That's vain. That's of no consequence. That means nothing. It's of no worth and it's of no value. So in verse 2 he says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I suffered thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Succor means to come to aid, to run to somebody's aid. So the Lord has come to our aid. He has run to our aid. He has suffered us. And now he's calling us in this ministry of reconciliation to bring people to him, to reconcile, to make friends, bring men into a friendship relation, into union with God. This is not vain. This is not something that is empty or no consequence. As I continue, verse 3, just basically there's like three particular words that stand out to me in this, all the way down to like verse 10. That's just, it's almost like they're three witnesses. Three just general, very short, very powerful and foundational words. They're like lights. They're like beacons. And the first word is in. And the second word is by. And the third word is as.
Mm.
Verse 3.
Amen.
Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Brethren, the last thing we should ever do is give offense to the gospel.
Amen.
To create an accusation against the gospel. To give ground to that. We're not to give offense. We're to give no offense. We're to be the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ beyond reproach.
Yes.
Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. It's not me. It's not about me. And I had some loved one of mine just tell me that recently. It's not all about you. And I said, that's from you, Lord.
Yeah.
It's not all about me. Sometimes I got to hear that because I get wrapped up in myself.
Amen.
I think maybe we all do, but
yeah,
I get wrapped up in myself in a big, big way. Giving no offense in anything. It's not, the ministry is not about me at all. It's about me being an ambassador from an embassy in a foreign country, in a foreign land, for the Lord Jesus Christ as my prince.
Amen.
He's my prince. Mm-hmm. Verse number 4, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. We're to approve. We're to prove ourselves. Approve. To approve. We're to approve ourselves. That we're to be a positive. We're to be a benefit. We're to give no offense. And we're to approve ourselves as the ministers of God. We're to be lights in a darkened world, right?
Mm-hmm.
In much patience. In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. In patience. Patience is what? The suffering of affliction with calm, unruffled temper and endurance.
Mm.
Luke 21:19. love this verse. Well, this speaks loads right here, and it's short.
Amen.
In your patience, possess ye your souls.
Oh, amen.
In your patience, possess ye your souls. If you're impatient, you are out of control. Mm-hmm. You're not. I mean, there's an old saying. I don't know if it's true. Patience is seldom seen in women and never in men.
Amen.
I don't know if any truth to that, but it makes you sure. But I could see it being the case. First Peter chapter 1, verses from 5 and 9.
First Peter what?
1.
5. First Peter 1, 5 and 9. We, let's see, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though for now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, and may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't that patience?
Mm.
James chapter 1, and I'm gonna be flying around with James chapter 1 verses 2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So one of the lights, beacons in this inn, this word in is patience. Next one is affliction. Affliction, the state of pain and distress. Second Corinthians. So now, are we able to bear pain and distress? Can we show this? Can we manifest this to the world? Can we show that we are ambassadors to the Lord Jesus Christ in affliction, in a state of pain and distress? Psalm 119 says, in 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thou art quickened me. So affliction brings us into fellowship with the Lord. Your word is His word has quickened. In my affliction, thy word hath quickened me. Quickened means to make alive.
Right. Amen.
Necessities. Back to 2 Corinthians 6. By pureness, in necessities. What are necessities? In verse 4. But in all things, proving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and in afflictions, in necessities. Necessities are indispensable, requisite things that we have to have in our life. Mm-hmm. We have to have food. We have to have water. But in these things, if we abide in these things, if we need these things, the Lord will provide these things for us, and if we wait on them, we'll manifest the Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. In distresses, in pain, anguish of body or mind, distresses. So this is like a heavy list of things.
Yeah.
But these are beacons and lights to us to abide, to walk in, to walk in His grace and in His power. So necessities are indispensable, prerequisite necessities that we have to have in our life. By these things, if we walk with Him, if we wait on Him, the world's going to see our they're going to see the Lord ministering to us as we come deeper into a union with Him. Am I making sense here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's
go. Ahead.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
In necessities, in distresses, pain, anguish of body or mind. Think about the distresses of Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Think of, he was called the weeping prophet, right? Mm-hmm. What kind of distress did the Jeremiah experience in his life? Mm-hmm. And yet he was God's man. He was a great prophet for the Lord. But he abided, almost his whole ministry was distress. Mm-hmm. He was in distress. Psalm 107. Psalm 107 is a very interesting psalm because it kind of shows this cyclical falling away and getting
right
with God. But the word distress appears like four times or three times in that psalm. And it says in verse 13 of Psalm 107, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses." In verse 19, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses." And verse 28, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses." So as we abide, as we follow this ministry of reconciliation, and as we are pressed upon with distresses, because we are his ministers and his working, his representatives from this foreign embassy. We work for the embassy. He will provide for us, and He will relieve us in our distresses. We are also a people in stripes. In stripes. In fasting. In verse 5, in stripes. What are stripes? Stripes are scourgings, whipping, affliction, and punishment. I believe that we're probably not too far from that. I don't mean to be pessimistic. I don't mean like I'm sorry, Wendy. I know. But we are.
We are
on the precipice, I think, of serious times.
Yeah.
We should prepare ourselves to receive these stripes, to receive these whippings. We need to prepare ourselves in stripes, scourging, whipping, affliction, punishment. John 15:20 declares the servant is not greater than his Lord.
Yeah.
Jesus was whipped, right? Isaiah 53:5 said he was with his stripes. Well, Isaiah 53:5 says, with His stripes we are healed.
Amen.
So we're healed. We're healed by His stripes. And the servant is not above his master. So therefore, I think we would probably behoove us to prepare ourselves for what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably happening here already. We just don't see it.
Just don't know it. Yeah.
It's not reported. But you can definitely, I guarantee it, you know, as one of you know, the Afghanistan and Pakistan and Nigeria,
North Korea, Islamic countries.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's happened.
Yep. China.
Yep.
It's incredible. So 1 Peter 2:24. His own self bear our sins, His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed.
Amen.
So as representatives of this foreign land, as representatives of our prince, we should expect to receive stripes.
Mm-hmm.
Serving is not above his Lord. Imprisonments, back to chapter 6 and verse 5, and stripes in imprisonments. And I think that a lot of this is just these things, these struggles that we're, you know, it lightens up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But all these struggles that are coming out here, these reveal God's power.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ultimately, I mean, God's going to move us into a place
mm-hmm.
where we're going to be relying on Him. We're not going to be leaning on our technology and on our our 401k.
Right.
We're not going to be really, leaning on all these things, our jobs included and everything else. We're going to be, look at some of the healthcare workers that have already said, bye-bye. Imprisonments. God's power is going to be revealed in those imprisonments.
Amen.
They are God's appointment. Who can't look at Paul in Acts chapter 16 when he was thrown into the jail in Philippi? And in Philippi, who did he encounter? The Philippian jailer.
Right.
So the Philippian jailer, when Paul was to be free, when God intervened, and the Philippian jailer was going to kill himself because he thought they had escaped, Philippian jailer became a Christian, and it says his family were all baptized.
Yes.
They all believed. So imprisonments are God's appointment.
Right.
And I think that how many have you mentioned that, Curtis, about we'll be going into these prison camps, and we'll be with brethren.
Yeah, we will be with.
I mean, I'm not making it la la land or being living.
No, it's not going to be comfortable, but it's going to be
rose-colored glasses.
Amen.
I know that there's going to be horrors and torture and everything else. But I think that when all this, and that's happening in other countries,
right?
When this stuff really starts to manifest itself, it's like Tommy, we've been preaching on the latter rain.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
When is the latter rain? When is it really? There are places now that there is the manifestation of God's power is much more pronounced than it is here.
Amen.
Right.
Because they're in hard times. They're in afflictions. They're in distresses. They're in necessities. They're in and they're exercising great patience.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see that. We're going to. But as we move into this place of increasing deprivation. Increasing wickedness, and as Christians we bear the light, the darker it is, the more light's manifested.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord will move in a greater and greater way because His children need Him.
That's good.
I mean, He came, He suffered us, He purchased us, He redeemed us, He came to our aid, He ran to our aid to help us. He's going to come again. And great. I mean, I think a lot of that's the things we lean on. All that stuff, all our, like I said, the 401ks and our savings accounts and our. I mean, I don't hurt for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really don't. Whatever hurting I get is because I brought it on myself.
Amen.
I mean, I got, and I'm not blowing my horn or anything like that, but I got no financial worries whatsoever. None. But just how much does that allow me to really understand and lean and trust the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Next, we're back to that 2 Corinthians 6 and verse, we're looking at a fast, where are we, verse 4, in tumults.
Tumults, yep.
Okay. Or tumults. Tumults of riots, and disturbance, and uproar. Go back and go to the book of Acts, and when Paul wanted to, when Paul wanted to make it
to Jerusalem for Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, sometimes I don't know, was that directly the will of God? But it must have been. The
right.
Lord was with them.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like Paul, to help me with that, I sometimes kind of go, who was this about? He went in through Pentecost.
Right.
He went into Jerusalem at Pentecost, and he went in with maybe some Greeks, or some Gentiles. Oh, that was what
the accusation
the Jews said.
Right.
So they caused an uproar, and they led them out. You know, they led them out, and they were going to basically probably going to stone or something like that. But then that Roman captain.
Mm-hmm.
Hears this commotion going on, and he steps in and intervenes, and Paul preaches
yeah.
to the Jewish people there on the steps. I think it was on the steps, right?
Yeah.
So eventually, when he got to that story, as he's talking about his conversion and everything like that, he gets the story of that God was going to send to the Gentiles, and then the Jewish people flipped out. You know, they freaked out. They just started going crazy. And Paul ultimately, but anyways, to make a long story short, it was a tumult.
Right.
It was tumultuous.
Right.
I mean, they were going to tear him apart.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Roman captain saved his life.
Yeah.
But to make a long story short, to come to the end of that story, Paul pleads to Caesar.
Yeah.
He pleads to Caesar at the end. Because they weren't gonna recognize his case, they weren't gonna hear it. They wanted him to continually come to these appearances and plead. So he pleads his case in front of Festus. He pleads his case in front of all these dignitaries and these Adam Bellows
right.
and people like that yeah. and Hoko and all that. He pleaded to all of them. He pleaded his case. And then he ultimately ended up in Rome pleading his case to Caesar. Which Caesar was it? Do you know
that? I'm not sure.
So, okay. So, but anyway, so make a long story short, God's appointment.
Amen.
Right.
That tumult that was caused by Paul going into Jerusalem, trying to make it into the temple by Pentecost, brought about this incredible, crazy situation of tumult. And I think that was God's point. It was all the Lord. They had these people in power. Caesar had the gospel preached to him right there.
Right.
And who else was more fitting that would be Paul
yeah.
that would do it?
Yeah.
Right?
Agrippa, Festus.
Yeah, Agrippa, Festus, yeah. I mean, all those boys got their ears full.
Yeah.
You know? And who said it? Was it a group that said almost convinced me?
Almost convinced me to be a Christian.
Yeah.
So back to chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians, and we're looking at labors. And that hard to explain that one, right? Hard work and difficulty.
Right.
No, it's struggle. And it's hard work and difficult. But boy, man, people want to see, what do they want to see in a Christian? And I worked at the post office, and I can't say, I don't know if that was difficult. I think most of the difficulty was just the extraneous nonsense that was going on in that. Like, I'm not going to beat that horse. I got a complete idea with that one. Okay. So now, but anyways, labors. Now, Lance, you work hard.
Yeah.
I like to work.
Yeah, you work hard.
It makes me feel
that's hard labor. People want to see you.
Yeah.
They want to see Jesus Christ in you. They want to see power. The power of Christ in your life. If you're laboring hard and people know it. If people know it.
Mm-hmm.
People can live. They say that there's nothing there. I don't know. Maybe that's a big deal though. You labor and you're a good worker.
Yep.
Man, that opens doors
yes.
for you.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. So next word is in watchings, sleeplessness, right? You're not getting much sleep. You're waking up in the middle of the night. Something comes to your mind, thinking about Mike Irvin. Think about Mike Hart. Think about these people.
Yeah.
They come to your mind. Do you think that was God's appointment?
Amen.
Do you think that, once again, I mean the Lord? I believe it is. I believe you. Somebody comes to mind in your watchings.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And now you're not sleeping. And 2 hours pass.
Come on.
And you're still not sleeping.
Yeah.
I don't think the world understands this as much. You know, these words, in, by, as, short words. But I'm going to tell you, the world does not understand these things. As we'll see, as we go on here. Watchings, wakefulness, unable to sleep. Next word, fastings. Fastings. Fastings are, obviously, we know, abstaining from food. But that can also be abstaining from food involuntarily.
Amen.
And I think we're probably also. And see, I think the Lord pouring out His great power is going to be increasingly manifested as these days get darker and darker. There's something to look forward to.
Amen.
This is not hopeless.
That's
right. This is not hopeless. We've got things that are happening. God, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Let not your heart be troubled.
Right.
You see these things? Let not your heart be troubled. This is going to come to pass. You cannot abort 60 million babies in this country and think you're going to walk away from it.
Amen.
I mean, we're gonna go down this road whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's good.
Okay. So now, where am I here? Oh, okay. Now we're going to the next group of words. By. Okay. By pureness.
Come on now.
By pureness.
Amen.
What does the world want to see? The world, what does the world know? The world, I mean, we are so muddled up. The world is so slimy. We're slimy, you know. But the world is so slimy.
Yeah.
Well, Christians shouldn't be. And it's so duplicitous. There's so much double-mindedness.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much instability. What does the world see in us?
Mm-hmm.
What do they see by us? By pureness. Have you seen pureness? The world, I believe, longs to see pureness. They want to see clean pureness. If they can look over something and go, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ministry of reconciliation, workers together with Him, what a glory to His name.
Amen.
Next word, by knowledge.
Mm.
By knowledge meaning a clear perception of what exists. Truth and fact. Proverbs 7:1 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So when the world looks at us and they think, wow, what's going on there? Knowledge. They don't understand the fear of the Lord. And that should be a huge bulwark and a buttress for us to ever get involved in sin and rampant, continual sin. I don't know. Knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. We got to testify by knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
By knowledge. Next word is long suffering. Bearing injuries, patience. Bible says God is long suffering. What is the fruit of the Spirit in 5:22?
Mm.
Galatians 5:22. So, turn there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Long suffering. I don't know if can these things, this fruit of the Spirit be born in can it be born in abundance? I don't know. Knowing the state of man, I shouldn't say that. Men can turn away from, men and women can turn, say no. But I really wonder just how much of a hold the Spirit can have in our lives until we come to a place where, I don't know if that sounds right.
I
gotta think about that. Because there are holy people who have lived in affluence.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a hard thing. I think abundance can be a bigger struggle than scarcity.
It's Jesus said that. Camels go through an eye of an eagle.
That's right. Jesus said that it's harder for a rich man to enter.
Yeah.
Right?
You guys want to join me up there? Because I can do it. No, but seriously though, I don't know. Kindness. Back to chapter 6 again. By kindness, yes. Goodwill, benevolence. Contributing to the happiness of others accompanies love. Contributing to the happiness of others. Are you feeling that way? I can get doggone snarky. I really can. I can get very, very snarky and very kind of belligerent, you know. But do I want to contribute to the happiness of others in their lives? That's so important. By kindness. By the Holy Ghost. Well, that's the ace, isn't it? The Holy Ghost can give us all things. The Holy Ghost is all power. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. He empowers us. Romans 5, 3 to 5. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. That's some steps right there, right? Tribulation. Next comes patience. Patience, experience. Experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. Back to 2 Corinthians 6, by love, verse 6 there. 2 Corinthians 6, by love unfeigned, not counterfeit. This is unfeigned, means not counterfeit. Not hypocritical, true, sincere, earnest. Do you think the world sees that? I think that's hypocrisy is probably the most fundamental thing the world sees.
Amen.
If you're living a life out of kilter with your kids, I don't care if they're 3 years old, they'll see hypocrisy. They'll see feigned. Feigned is just the opposite, obviously, of unfeigned. But feigned means an act.
Mm-hmm.
What was the leaven of the Pharisees? Hypocrisy.
Right.
It was feigned. It was acting. And the world could look, they could look upon it. Jesus said, that's the leaven of the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Hypocrisy. By love unfeigned, That's the opposite being, right? Love unfeigned is a true love. Not counterfeit. Sincere, earnest. The world is sick of lies and hypocrisy. It is drunken with hypocrisy. You can't turn that boob tube on for 1 hour and not get your stomach turned by the hypocrisy.
Amen.
And we're just feasting on hypocrisy right now. We're sucking it down deep, drinking deep of the well of hypocrisy. Next verse, verse 7, by the word truth. Am I running too long here?
I don't even know what time it is.
Okay.
I ain't going.
By the word truth. So nothing settles a dispute like the word. You ever notice that? You get talking to people, you get into a debate with somebody, and all of a sudden, you just say one verse of scripture, and it all gets quiet.
Yeah.
Intuitively they know John chapter 1.
Right.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things, right, were made by Him.
Yeah.
By the way, Lance, in the New World Translation, it is small g.
Ah.
By God. I looked it up.
So it
means the Creator. It's not. So the world looks upon that, and they see that. They see, they hear, rather, I should say. They hear. Heaven and earth will pass away, my words will never pass away. The world hears when you do in a discussion and somebody brings up the scripture, it gets quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult for people to argue with the word of God. I mean, it just stops their mouth, man. Even if they don't agree, they may hate your guts. But there's something about that word, and they know it's powerful. They in an unsaved state, there's a witness to that.
Right.
It's powerful stuff. Well, where am I here? Okay. The known one is good report. Power of God. Okay. Word of truth. The power of God. All of it.
Mm-hmm.
All of it attests to His power. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. There is no bottom to the ocean of God's power.
Amen.
There is no understanding of the depth of His mysteriousness.
Yeah.
I mean, there, things happen. And you know it's the power of God. You just know it's the power of God. Power of God. Limitless. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. And of course that invokes Ephesians chapter 6. The armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. It's not a la carte. That
Amen. Got to get it
in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6.
Yeah.
You don't get to pick and choose which one you want.
Amen.
Left and right. I mean, you got sword, shield,
right,
breastplate, helmet, feet shod with the gospel, loins girded with truth.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. Mm-hmm. Everything. It's all, you can't pick and choose what you want. The shield, you got to have it all. The Bible declares that we're in a war.
Mm-hmm.
We're in such a war that the wars of this world can't even hold a candle to it. The depth of that war. But Ephesians 6, there you go, it's the armor of righteousness. We need it all, every bit of it, that ye may be able to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what it says. That ye may be able to stand. Stand, therefore.
Right.
Stand. But you've got to have that armor or you're not going to stand.
Right.
You're going to get cut down. And it's, I mean, you're going to, whether it's behind you, whether it's over you, whether it's to the left or the right, you've got to have the armor on you. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be ready for those fiery darts of the wicked. And the subtlety of that devices of Satan,
mm-hmm.
his devices. Devices speak of a of a an actual military maneuver. It's a
right.
device. It's a ambush. It's a you know just finding you somewhere in your weakest point. And Satan coming against you with devices is a well thought out and a schemed attack and device against you. The armor of righteousness, honor and dishonor. Okay, by honor and dishonor. Honor, dignity, distinction, good name, esteem. You're known by honor. You will be known by honor. You need to walk by. This is what's interesting about this is it's kind of got this paradox to it. By honor and dishonor, we're to walk with dignity and honor. And dishonor, I would say, in this regard, is maybe the murmurings of people who don't like you because of what you are and what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Dishonor. By honor and dishonor. We're to take it all. I mean, we're not just to think that somehow we're above the fray, that we're somehow above this, you know. We are we're going to be ridiculed.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be discredited. We're going to be slandered. We're going to be attacked.
Mm-hmm.
By honor and dishonor.
Right.
But still, we're going to walk in the light by that. Right? We're going to, next part, by evil report and good report. Again, I think that ties right into that. In Philippians chapter 1, 13 through 18. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all of the places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, and the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Christ. So, evil report and good report. Christ is still lifted up. Christ is still lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like it's like the you know, the rancor and the tumult and going into prison. Christ, if we're doing right, if we're walking, let God take care
Amen.
Of that stuff.
Right.
Christ is going to be preached, whether people think it's against somehow they're doing damage to us. No, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not doing damage. People need to get shaken.
Mm-hmm.
People need to have their eyes opened up because we're just like, people are in an absolute slumber. They're in a lethargic suma land.
Mm-hmm.
Going
yeah.
on. I mean, they're in slumber. They have to get shaken up. I don't know, that sounds kind of rough, but it's true. I don't know. I mean, you don't want to slap people, you know, but maybe in the long run it's not. Better be slapped, you know, than burn in hell. Yes. So, and verse 8, it says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. Now we're going to transition to another witness
mm-hmm.
word, as.
Mm-hmm.
As deceivers. And yet true. What did they say about Jesus Christ? They said, you have the devil and he's
yeah.
mad. He casts out devils by Beelzebub, prince of darkness. That's what they said about him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they said about him. To me, that's mind-boggling that you can bring a dead person back to life and somehow you're a devil. And somehow, I don't know, it's just mind-boggling to me that they could say that. He has a devil in his man. What's that? That's John 10:20.
Mm-hmm.
He has a devil in his man. as deceivers and yet true. Was Jesus Christ a deceiver?
No.
We have the ministry of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
They called him a deceiver.
They called
Caiaphas
him a deceiver.
Caiaphas called him a deceiver.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. The next, by evil report and good report. But as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known. We're a mystery to the world. We really are. What makes that dude tick? I mean, the world just doesn't get it, you know? They don't understand that we're pilgrims passing through. This isn't our world. We have another country. We have another kingdom that we're looking to. This is not our home. As unknown and yet known. And they can look at us as this peculiar people, and they know what we are if we're living a godly life. They can see by our steadfastness. They can see by our, you know, how hard we work. They can see our truthfulness and our honesty. They can see, yet we're known. Yet we're unknown because we don't run with the pack.
Mm-hmm.
We don't fit. We don't fit in. Yeah. As unknown, yet well known. As dying, and behold, we live.
Yeah. Amen.
Galatians. Chapter 2, 19 and 20. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I think we're talking a little bit about this yesterday. My thought so much the Christian life. Sounds gruesome, but you gotta die to yourself.
Amen.
That's the only way that I can get rid of this corruption is if I really come to understand
Amen.
That I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, if not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Mm-hmm.
That's so powerful. That is so profound and so powerful. As dying, behold, we live. And we live. Yeah. Okay, what person am I now?
As chastened and not killed.
As unknown, yet known. As dying, behold, we live. As chastened
right.
And not killed. Yeah. The world chastens us. The world wars upon us, but we're not killed. The Lord holds our breath.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we have, we won't go another millisecond past that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was one of the Civil War generals that said that, Stonewall Jackson, I am invincible until God calls me.
Right. Amen.
And, that's the attitude, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
amen.
That's chastened and not killed. That's chastened. The world chastens us. The world, the world goes against us. The world's not our friend. Yet in the midst of all this, the power is attested to, you know, the power is manifested. As sorrowful, verse 10, and yet all we rejoice in. All these verses here, as sorrowful and yet rejoicing, as poor and yet making rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I think it's good. The paradox of God is, there's one thing that always takes me, that the Lord just works the opposite completely of the way the world works.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Take my yoke upon you
Right.
Take my burden upon you and learn of me. For my burden is easy and my edge is light. So actually, and you'll find rest to your souls. Now, is that not a paradox? It doesn't make sense, but that's the way the Lord is mysterious.
Amen.
The Lord moves just the opposite to the world. So in Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 33, I think this kind of ties it up. This is the chapter of faith, the hall of faith, the hall of faith. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Here's a verse for you. Of whom the world was not worthy.
Amen.
They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And the verse next chapter, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So these three words, as, by, in, this ties along with Hebrews chapter 11. This is just all, and I just read a portion of Hebrews chapter 11. We are to look at these witnesses and to look at the witness of Scripture and understand that we've got something better for us, waiting for us. We've got witnesses.
That's right.
We got witnesses. And I think that this portion of Scripture is God's witness to us. These are three witnesses in as by. They're witnesses to us. And I don't know, that's kind of where I'm at with this. I hope that there's a blessing to you.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Anyways. Amen.
Amen.
Very good.
The grace Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that this was would be used of you, Lord. And may it settle into our hearts and maybe something that I have spoken through your word, Lord, would find its way into the recesses of our hearts and be like a medicine to us, Lord, and change us and provoke us and create in us the image of Christ in our lives. May Christ be seen in us, by us, of us, Lord. I pray, Father, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.